Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. A lot is going on out there in terms of what looks like fear mongering and panic, and then a lot of, you know, information being thrown around about what's going on with the skies and geoengineering and a couple different bills. And the one person that you can always go to for the truth when it comes to the actual climate crisis and what is real and what is not is back with me today. Dane Wigington of Geoengineering Watch is somebody that I have come to not only trust, but really admire, who really, really cares about getting to the truth and transparency. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you for your continued willingness to look up and try to disseminate to everyone who will listen what's happening in our skies. And the gravity and immediacy of the threat of what's being done there cannot be overstated.
Yeah, and especially because every time that there seems to be something out there that's thrown out on social media, it gets shared and shared again. And I always say, I'm going to Geoengineering Watch, because if it's real, Dane will be covering it. If it's not real, you know, it'll be all this hype and a whole lot of nothing. So let's talk about a couple of the things that you've been seeing lately. I guess there was a bill passed in Tennessee and some other places about spraying in the atmosphere, and then I saw that traveling all over the internet. What is the story that's going on with any developments on the front of fighting the engineering?
I'll get to the courageous representative in Tennessee, Representative Monty Fritz, who I had a long conversation with last week. Very honorable man, and that effort absolutely matters. It's about credible awareness, and they are helping tremendously to reach that point. And backing up to what you stated earlier about the narratives that get propagated that have no substance to them, and that the Matrix wants alt media to propagate, like the recent articles about the geoengineering experiment in the Bay Area here in California, absolute smoke and mirrors, exactly like the Make Sunsets big distraction happened in Baja, California, with a few IT people that launched a balloon with a couple pounds of material on it that may or may not have reached the atmosphere. Pay no attention to the military tanker like a KC-135 dumping 100 tons per payload, hundreds of these aircraft every single day. It, again, we've extrapolated based on rain tests over a single U.S. state, which we have not disclosed yet because we're working with an institution there that doesn't want to be identified yet. But we've extrapolated there may be as much as 40 to 60 million tons of particulate matter being dumped into our skies annually. 40 to 60 million tons. And we're seeing headlines and everybody jumping on this coverage over a couple pounds being put into the air in the Bay Area or in Baja. Total smoke and mirrors, red herring, mass distraction. People Wow. need to focus on what is actually already occurring and not run with these distractionary stories that are tossed out. So back to Tennessee, the efforts there from, again, spearheaded from Representative Monty Fritz, exceptional human being, and his assistant as well, they drafted this legislation very effectively, trimming it down to the nuts and bolts, basic points that does anyone want this kind of dispersion in their airspace? Answer, no. So why wouldn't you have a bill against this? And for those other representatives in Tennessee, and you have to see this dog and pony show to really understand how criminal it is. We had other representatives, in this case, Democrats, and not to separate the two, because here in California, right, we have Republicans fighting climate engineering exposure just as wow. as tenaciously as the Democrats were in Tennessee. So it's not a partisan issue. But we had four state representatives orchestrate a complete theater trying to attach an amendment to save Bigfoot, literally, along with this, to try to make it into a distractionary circus.
Oh, to make it like a joke? Like to make it like a
joke. Exactly. Like it's a joke for our government to spray toxic nanoparticles into our skies, contaminating everything. And that's how bought, sold, and paid for so many in governments are. And again, that's why my deepest respect for Monty Fritz, Dr. Denise Sibley, who also was instrumental. I've been communicating with her. We've been supplying them our materials. So we have some courageous reps. They've got it passed through the Senate, through the House. It's now before the governor to sign. And if these paid minions for the power structure don't sidetrack that, it would be signed into law. And where it matters, Mel, is that this puts it on the radar credibly. We've had lots of international coverage, and that's what matters. You can't, of course, even if they could somehow stop the dispersions over their state, it drifts in from other states, whatever's upwind. But the point is, again, if we credibly expose this, Mel, and populations around the globe know what's being done to them without their knowledge or consent, I would argue that's the pitchforks and torches moment.
I agree 100%. Also, that the manipulation by the multinational corporations, I call the parent company running our country right now, how much they're pretending that they're fighting for climate. And, you know, they got their whole ESG score model and their impact investor model. But when you really scrape down to it, it's got nothing to do with actual healing of the environment. You've talked many times on the show about that the environment has its own basically immune system and ability to heal itself in ways, but that's being, interfered with all these new technologies that really aren't doing what they say. Can you talk a little bit about that and what is going on with these big giant investments in the Green New Deal that are really just, it seems to me, a lot of money laundering and a much ado about nothing? Well, real things are happening that have solutions that aren't being activated or financed.
You're correct. And as far as the script in the theater about what they're doing, the COP conferences, COP28, which just occurred, all that, again, smoke and mirrors. No one intends to change business as usual. And what's really going on at those conferences is backdoor pressure on countries to actively or passively participate in climate engineering operations, as if that's going to somehow allow us to band-aid things together and keep going in the current trajectory, which could not be further from the truth. And this is where the equation becomes complex. Yes, the planet is extraordinarily resilient, and it has been resilient for a very long time, but it is now broken. Right. Many aspects of the planet's life support systems are broken, and you can't unbreak them. Climate engineering has been a major factor in that. Had they never deployed climate engineering, we would have much more readily seen what was happening and why the planet would have been allowed to respond. Let me give you a primary example of that. Climate engineering has decimated the ozone layer, and it has contaminated ubiquitously the entire planet, soils and water. So when we look at the boreal forests and the tropical forests, both now that were once carbon sinks, meaning they absorbed tremendous amounts of carbon, no more. They're now carbon sources. They're so damaged and compromised, again, because the soils have been contaminated, root systems contaminated, the UV system or the UV radiation from the destroyed ozone layer is damaging foliage. The trees shut their stomata. That's the respiratory ports that allow them to breathe and absorb carbon and release oxygen. So climate engineering has virtually disabled the planet's attempt to try to compensate for some of the damage done. Plankton as well. The intense UV radiation is slaughtering plankton. And I'm not saying that's the only source. And this is where people in alt media need to separate the baby from the bathwater here, in that too many people think, oh, it's either this or that. No, it's all the above. We've poisoned the oceans from too many directions to even begin to quantify. But what's not being mentioned? What are we not being told? And that's the biggest single factor of all. In plankton, we know from peer-reviewed study, we're down 90% in the Atlantic. Wow. Other oceans not far behind. That's a virtual crash of plankton populations. No plankton, no people. Insect populations down 80 to 90%. The UV, a major factor, and the contamination, massive factor. And for your listeners, so they understand, we're talking about nanoparticles. And nanoparticles of any element are extremely harmful. But when we're talking about harmful elements on top of being nanoparticle size, very, very harmful, you can fit up to 100,000 nanoparticles across the width of a single human hair.
Wow.
They're absorbed into virtually everything, our food, our water, every breath we take. So again, back to Tennessee and these so-called representatives of the people trying to make a joke out of what an honest representative was trying to do. It's criminal, Mel.
It is. Now, let me ask you something. So we're constantly hearing about more and more satellites being sent up into our atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I feel like constantly every few weeks we hear about that. Does that have any any impact on climate, on the earth, on all of that. It seems like it's a constant. There's some kind of space competition going on out there. You're hearing about Elon sending up all these satellites into like lower orbit and all that. I just can't imagine that all of this isn't affecting the planet in some negative ways. Does it?
You're completely correct. Again, completely correct. Every single rocket launch doesn't just punch a hole through the ozone layer. It tears a massive gaping gash in the ozone layer. And again, the atmosphere is being treated with unimaginable contempt, the entire planet unimaginable contempt. And people that think that somehow we're going to tech our way out of this, how's that going so far? Again, climate engineering being the epitome of that kind of stupidity. And if I can give an example of the layers of stupidity, Mel, you see the pharmaceutical commercials, right? I mean, every week there's a new strange sounding name and they list the side effects that are 20, 30 long, and the people are all dancing around and laughing while they're listing these side effects of death, cancer. Right. So with the planet, the same. So as they've decimated the atmosphere, the oxidative effect of these particulates destroying the ozone layer, and now you trigger what's called a feedback loop. And we have about as many as 50 triggered right now. And they're called positive feedback loops, but that doesn't mean good. It means that they feed on themselves once triggered. So now we have this cascading effect of planetary life support system collapse. And what is, just like in the pharmaceutical industry, if you take something for one symptom and it causes side effects, then you take something else for that. Right. Same procedure with climate engineering. So as they've destroyed the atmosphere, we have gases like methane exploding out of the tundra and the seafloor, and that's saturating or covering the planet like a layer of glass. And now they have what's called Project Lucy and Alamo. Those are acronyms for microwaving the atmosphere with opposing frequencies in a desperate, unimaginably destructive and dangerous attempt to degrade some of that methane that their tech caused in the first place to help to release. And that's on top of, again, I'm not ignoring the burning of carbon fuels. We're going through 260 or 70,000 tons of coal every single day, 100 million barrels of oil, 100 million a day. This is absolutely a problem. But again, if we all focus, whatever side of the fence people are on and whatever they have chosen to conclude, if we all agreed on this, that there can be no legitimate discussion about climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost addressing this issue. And the left is the worst of all at not being willing to address this piece of the puzzle. They have been very well trained not to. So we need to remedy that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the other thing is that a lot of this is very, very well funded. I say that there's a billionaire globalist oligarchy that are running a parent company of Planet Earth as if we're just lucky to be here and they're going to do whatever they want. But now they're implementing a lot of AI technology under the guise of climate emergency and all kinds of things. And this is happening everywhere from Africa to the Middle East to in America. And a lot of this is untested technology. All because it exists doesn't mean that it's better. And what I've been reading, I was looking up because I knew you were coming on, is a lot of this technology that's being invested in isn't even ready for prime time. So hundreds of billions of dollars, it appears, are going towards healing the environment in the climate emergency. And none of it is doing it. There are legitimate things that could be done that are not even being looked at. And then there's all this new technology that might exist, but it's not really doing anything. And that's where all the money's going. It seems like a big boondoggle or some kind of laundering scheme, because you look at the companies that have these contracts and they're not even functioning really. They're just still in the lab just looking at data.
You're correct again. So let's look at the CO2 sequestering stations like we have. I think it's called Orca in Iceland. So this big, expensive, energy intensive station for a whole year of operation absorbs about 3 seconds worth of global annual CO2 emissions. 3 seconds. It's completely pointless. If we look at the wind turbine operations, for example, and this is where, again, ignoring climate engineering is absolutely criminal by the so-called green community. Right. Climate engineering is radically curtailing all three primary forms of alternative energy: solar, wind, and hydro. In regard to solar, of course, you're blocking direct sunlight, and that means a complete loss of solar PV output. That's what got me into this issue, Mel. Okay. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I have a background there with Bechtel Power. I worked on one of the first commercial solar plants in the US in the 80s. So when I was losing 60, 70, 80% of my solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting, I knew that absolutely could not be just, quote, condensation. Mm-hmm. And to clarify for your listeners, that doesn't mean a 60, 70, or 80% loss of visible light. It means direct sunlight. There's a big difference. Solar panels have to have direct, unobstructed sunlight or they don't work. So we have massive commercial solar plants that are producing half their rated output because of solar radiation, quote, management, which is, again, what could go wrong with filling the sky with toxic light scattering particles that are destroying the planet's life support systems? And the climate science community will not admit to those consequences. And there's other effects, Mel. Have you seen all the massive hail, right?
Oh,
every
yeah.
Time you look, it's hail everywhere, baseball-sized hail. That is literally wiping out entire solar farms in one storm,
right.
Decimating the entire field, tens of thousands of panels in one single storm. So we have that aspect of solar radiation management blocking alternative energy. It's also disrupting the hydrological cycle. Mel, you know that the Western Lakes, the biggest hydro dams in the country, Hoover Dam, Glen Canyon Dam, you know how low those lakes are.
Right.
Those hydro plants are about to shut down. Same is true in other parts of the world. That's from climate engineering disrupting the hydrological cycle and the wind farms. Climate engineering tends to create all or nothing wind scenarios because it affects convection. So it's either blowing far too hard or not at all. And that makes wind farms almost useless. If you double the wind speed on a wind turbine, you get nothing because they have to shut the turbine down to keep it from blowing apart. If you cut the wind speed in half, you get 1/8 the power. Both scenarios, again, no one in the green community is talking about this. So from every conceivable direction, climate engineering is a collective death sentence, planetary omnicide, and we have a whole so-called academic community pretending it isn't happening.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, this crypto mining and these giant data centers all over that are going up all over the country. You know, Bill Gates owns a bunch of them. Amazon has a bunch, Meta, Google, all these people, certainly above that. They are taking up a lot of, they're manipulating a lot of energy around the country, it sounds like, and water and all this. Yeah. So yep. This is a big problem that people don't look at, I don't think at all, with these giant data mining farms, literal farms of data mining. How is that affecting us?
It's just adding more straws to the camel's back.
Right.
And this is what, and so few people see this or want to know this. And again, what I would compare, because it's so polarizing, and that's been by intent. Those in power are very effective at polarizing populations against themselves.
Right.
But if we look at this situation like wars, again, because when people see the elite making money off of a situation, they think, well, it must not be real. They fabricated it and they're just using it for a profit source. But let's look at wars, which is a good core example. We have the same people making money off both sides of
right.
wars.
Exactly.
Does that mean the war didn't happen? Does that mean people didn't die? No, doesn't mean any of that. So yes, we have the disaster capitalists, as I've compared before, the pirates on the deck of the sinking ship filling their pockets with loot. It's not going to matter on the current course. I want to stress that. On the current trajectory, no one gets out alive. And that doesn't mean centuries from now or decades from now. This equation could not be more nonlinear, and very few people understand that.
Yeah, it's so important that you're talking about it. Speaking of war, it does appear that the lunatics running the asylum that is a current planet want to push us into a nuclear war. I mean, we've never heard talk about, well, if it gets nuclear, I guess it'll just be a small nuclear war. I mean, the insanity to not even talk about peace and be, I think, instigating the next level to go with nuclear powers and nuclear weapons still out there. This is a zero sum game. Like when this, if that goes to that level, but I don't hear anyone even sounding the alarm that like, wait a minute, that can't happen. That is the end of everything. This must be making you completely crazy to think that they're even considering this is an option so openly right now. After all the work you've done on the planet and you know what's really wrong, these people are talking about basically just taking the ultimate step for God knows why, for no reason. I don't even, how do they survive? This must What do you think of all this talk about nuclear war as if it's like an option?
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Yes, one can only conclude that we are indeed in a planetary asylum run by the criminally insane. And we have open discussion in circles of Washington of the, quote, benefit of a limited nuclear exchange for slowing the warming of the planet. That's how insane they are. They're openly discussing that purpose with that objective. Here's what happens if there's any nuclear exchange at all. The ionizing radiation will strip away what's left of the ozone layer. Game over. We are done.
Right. I mean, can't even believe that they're talking about this like it's an option. And then they say limited, but wouldn't that have a ripple effect over the whole thing?
Right now, again, any additional factor in this equation, we're already in free fall. And that would simply be the final nail in our collective coffins, period. And even without that, we have Fukushima, which some people think is fixed. That couldn't be further from the truth. We have a triple nuclear meltdown, no technology to fix it, no end in sight. And that is an extinction level event if other factors don't do the job first, which I would argue will be the case on the current course. So climate engineering, as we just discussed, has damaged the protective layers of the atmosphere. Now, if we have a large CME, a coronal mass ejection, and we have grids shut down around the world, now we have dozens or even hundreds of nuclear plants that can't cool themselves. Now we have dozens or hundreds of Fukushimas, game over again, and we're building 60 more nuke plants right now. And the notion that we have people in the green community pushing nuclear as if it's green power, how's that working out so far? And Chernobyl's not done either. Many people think Chernobyl's all better now. The sarcophagus is disintegrating. That's going to rear its head again soon. We have nuclear wastelands in areas like Greenland that are thawing now and starting to release that contamination in the Arctic. The human race has painted itself into an unimaginably dark corner. But what I would say, and I know this is all very overwhelming, I understand that this is all I do 7 days a week for the last 20 plus years. But what one does is you remember what's in your power and what's not. You focus on what is. And if we collectively do that, if we can plug this single biggest hole in the bottom of the boat first, and that starts with exposing what's happening in our skies. And I would argue that would change everything. That would bring to light to populations all over the world what their governments have done to them without their knowledge or their consent. And that would drag so much to the surface with it, Mel. And it would allow the planet to respond to the damage done. And we don't know how miraculous the planet's life support's response might be if we stop hindering it with this. And we need to stop a lot of other things as well. I'm not ignoring that. But this is the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat. We need to seal this first. Where the boat goes down, nothing else matters.
Yeah, and if the Tennessee legislation does pass, then that gives a framework for other states to follow. And I think that they would also. One other thing that I want to ask you about is that I hear these World Economic Forum types and the IPCC folks and these people, they've been talking more and more about the water and that they want to basically capture all the water and put all the water out there to their catastrophizing, water supply, all of that. The truth is that if they want it to make clean water available to all people, that is possible. But they're doing this thing where they're acting like there's a lack of water. What is going on with the water that these people now, it sounds like they want to make the water into like a controlled commodity by them. And that, because there's less and less water, what do we do about that?
They do. You're right. And let me back up and then I'll get to the water. On the Tennessee bill, yes, there's about six other states right now following suit, and we're communicating with them as well. And they are using the Tennessee template, which is the right template to use for this. And it absolutely does matter. Again, we see people even in alt media saying, oh, this doesn't matter, they can't enforce it. It does matter because it's about awareness. And if we could wake the world up to what's happening, including our military brothers and sisters who are being told they're doing something benevolent and something for the greater good, which couldn't be further from the truth. If we can wake everyone up, we can change this equation. Those bills are paramount in getting that done. On the water, here's the bottom line. We know from peer-reviewed study right now, there's not an uncontaminated drop of rain on planet Earth. Every single drop of rain is contaminated, not just with the toxic elements I've just named, again, climate engineering elements, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, graphene. And those last two, polymer fibers and graphene, by the way, are used militarily for biological warfare. They're used to carry a pathogen from the cloud to the ground. What's that doing in our rain?
Right.
We have PFAS forever chemicals based on peer-reviewed science study, PFAS forever chemicals in every single drop of rain everywhere on the planet. In regard to the fact that it's raining less overall on a warming planet, that is completely counter to the laws of physics. The only thing that can cause that scenario is climate engineering. Because when you fill the atmosphere with too many particles, there's too many condensation nuclei, the droplets don't combine and fall as rain. So they can migrate rain from one place to another by doing that and manipulating atmospheric pressure zones. And when you block direct sunlight, as we already discussed, you completely thwart the evaporative cycle over the ocean. So for every degree C of warming, Mel, the atmosphere holds 7% more moisture. I hope it's clear. I'm not shooting from the hip. I know this data inside out.
No, I know you do. Down. No, it is clear. And so, go ahead. So,
I want to back up what you stated earlier because it's incredibly important on the controlling of the water supply. They control the spigot, period. They decide where it rains, how much it rains, and how toxic that rain will be. And if we go back to what President Johnson stated on the record in 1962, it's the beginning of every single weekly Global Alert News broadcast, which we pay for out of our pocket on 20 plus radio stations across the country, no commercials, no politics. The beginning 20 seconds of every broadcast is, and I know you've seen this, Mel, Lyndon Johnson stating, in 1962, we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and he controls the weather, controls the world. So back to what you said, controls the rain, controls the food supply, controls the populations, thus controls the world. And that's what it's about. Thank you for your
100%.
Question.
100%. And when I saw them talking about this, the capturing the water, I'm thinking, again, this also all goes to, are you somebody, I mean, these people obviously believe that they are gods and that it is up to them. And it's a small group, but I follow the money. I go all the way up to the World Bank, IMF, BIS, like you said about the wars, everything is being paid for on both sides by the same exact financial structure, this international, I call it the international banking cartel, because they're buying all of this stuff and they're above all of it. I said, like, they're running the earth, like it's like they're the parent company, and it's really just gone too far. But there's a lot more of us than them. And I do think there's a lot more people awake, but they have certainly hijacked the entire climate sciences to be something that it's not. Luckily, because of people like you and a few other brave souls out there. But what we are watching is this fraudulent misinformation, disinformation, malinformation coming from the UN, World Economic Forum, obviously the Biden regime, the current regimes that they run are all in on this. So there's even more censorship. I saw the world, like not just the World Health Organization adding climate emergency to their pandemic treaty, but also they've also added it to any kind of climate disinformation, misinformation, to be kicked off of YouTube, to be censored, to be all of that. I mean, they must be panicking that their entire climate fallacy is being found out to be a fraud, or they wouldn't be pushing this so hard. Are you seeing more and more censorship? I mean, you've always had it, but are you seeing it like on a global scale, ratcheting up like I am?
Yes. And what I would encourage people to do again is to, even if we considered climate intervention operations, which is weather warfare, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Even if that was the only source of damage to the planet, which it of course isn't, but even if it was, that damage is real. The planet is very damaged, and the power structure is panicking because they know they can't hide the totality of what's unfolding much longer. And they know they have tried to hide climate intervention operations, which to this point in human history is the single most destructive human activity of all. So what I would encourage people to do is to agree that we can have no legitimate discussion of climate anything from any perspective without addressing climate intervention operations first and foremost. We must push this issue out into the full light of day. If we can do that, Mel, the fur would fly. We would alter the equation. We would cause a shockwave around the world. I'm not saying our problems are over, because they're definitely not, but that would be the single greatest leap we can make in the right direction. And we need to make that leap soon.
Yeah, I agree. And the last thing, I do a lot of work on Agenda 2030 and this fraud. It's full track and trace surveillance, totalitarian, top-down, technocratic insanity to me. But at the same time, I do want to make clear that at the top of these structures that really do exist, be it whichever group, you talked about the COP conferences, you want to talk about Davos, you could talk about any of these groups, Bilderberg, where these people meet and talk about really financial stuff in the guise of using climate most of the time or a pandemic. But what I do want to understand, and I want people to know, is at the very top, like I keep saying to people, what the enemy we're dealing with has no allegiance to any nation, to any flag, to any people, to any country, to any religion. This is like, it's like out of 1984, the people that when I follow the money, this is power for power's sake. And actually, they have to work together to do a lot of the geoengineering. So people think that, you know, Russia and China are over here and here's the UN and the Five Eyes nations. But if you look at what's going on in Davos or you look at what's going on at the UN, no, actually they're all working together on a lot of things while we're being told that they're not. So the geoengineering, a lot of this has to be have cooperation of multiple nations. And some of those nations we're told are our enemies, yet they're working together on this. Is that still happening?
You're completely correct. Completely correct. Again, that's a very, very important point to back that up. We have an 800 plus page U.S. Senate document at geoengineeringwatch.org with many of the important sections highlighted, because it's a lot to trudge through, that makes absolutely inarguably clear exactly what you just stated. And the document states that even otherwise adversarial nations will work together on this issue because of the cross-border ramifications. You can't just geoengineer over your own country without affecting the entire world. They're absolutely positively working together. And that document provides evidence of even during the Cold War, Soviet scientists coming here to collect weather modification data, ours going there. Behind the curtains cooperation, that's the same, again, the COPs conferences, the climate conferences, all of that is about climate engineering operations and forcing nations to actively or passively participate. No question. We know there's other issues that they have clearly worked together on as well that we've just been through in the last few years. No question. This is a global operation with global cooperation. At some point, we may start to see the mafia families start to feud. Right. And this weapon, incredibly destructive weapon of war, might be used in many other layers and fashions, but the cooperation has absolutely been there, Mel. You're 100% right. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, they really, they manipulate language so much, these people in the parent company, that you can't really see what they're saying. But I've read so many documents like you do. I read what they write. It's not a conspiracy theory if they wrote it. You know, it's only if you say, oh, there's a group of people that are working on this together. Oh, so who are they? Well, they tell you who they are if you know where to look, and they'll tell you exactly what they're doing. And the one thing that I think we've all pulled together here is that as much as they appear to be fighting for propaganda or PR, a lot of them are coordinating together with, and this is also private corporations all over the world in business with major governments, you know, telling us one thing, using our taxpayer dollars to do something very different. So I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, all nations are kind of being affected by this, but at least in America, we have the ability to have, for now, free speech. And I'm really glad what's going on in Tennessee. Now let's get people eyes on that. The bill in Tennessee, everyone should go look that up right now, read it and see if you can maybe start the momentum in your state to get something like that going there. Like Dane said, that bill is written, he was involved. It's a really powerful bill. There's no American citizen right now that can sit on the sidelines, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to all of this stuff, but especially this. So before we go, any last things you people think people should know and how they can get involved and active? Because we still have, at this point, freedom. I'm a little nervous about after 2024, but I'll fight until the end for freedom and truth. So what do you think people should be focusing on going forward?
First, this, we need everyone possible to email or contact Tennessee Governor Bill Lee's office to encourage him to sign this bill into law and not be sidelined, as we know there's much behind the scenes going on that would try to influence him not to sign this bill. So we could use everybody's help in that regard. As far as our timeline goes, I will be surprised if we make it much further without some very big links in the chain breaking, in that this is where the big variable comes into play. The moment the power structure realizes they can't hide the severity and totality of what's unfolding from the populations, they will play much bigger cards. That could happen at any point right now. So what people, I hope, do is reevaluate why they're here. What's this all about? Do we own our lives, or do we owe it to our children, to the whole, to the web of life on which our lives completely depend? And that web of life is completely collapsing right now. Global pelagic fish populations down 90%. That's the food fish. We have herds of wildlife collapsing everywhere. Caribou, the massive caribou herds in the Arctic, gone from 1 million to 5 or 6,000. They have completely collapsed. Nobody knows what's going on because they're watching political circus every day, Mel.
Right, exactly.
So the bottom line is, let's reassess why we're here, prioritize to plug this biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, and then we can assess where we're at. And we can all agree that no legitimate discussion about climate anything without addressing climate engineering first and foremost. So I'm very grateful to you, to your listeners, for the help in moving this fight forward. We have, on the homepage of Geoengineering Watch, we have specific activist instructions and so forth, and materials that are very helpful, printed materials, non-political. We don't sell anything. Every way we can, if we can move this fight forward, if we reach that critical mass of awareness, Mel, and I'm grateful to you for that help, we will take a leap in the right direction.
Yeah, anytime. And I love having you back, but I saw what was going on in Tennessee and I knew I had to have you on to explain it. So get in touch with the governor. Who is it? Governor Lee? Is that who it is?
Bill Lee.
Okay. Bill Lee. Tennessee. Yep. If we can pass that in Tennessee, then it could start a ripple effect and a domino effect all over the country. Also, go look there for your state. People can be proactive in championing legislation, getting a group of people together. There's a lot we can do right now. And this is a good first step. And Dane's been involved in that and all of this. Also, go to his website, Geoengineering Watch. Look around. Also, watch The Dimming if you have never seen it. It's very eye-opening, and your work is amazing. Thank you so much. You're such a champion and a hero, and I see you out there, and the more I see you out there, I feel so grateful for your voice. Any last words for the people? We want people to still, understand that they still have a say. They can still be part of the change and the solution. There's a lot more of good people out there that want to make a difference. They just have to actually do it.
Yes, and they are necessary, and thanks to their help, even in spite of massive social media censorship, The Dimming is now over 10 million views.
Oh, wow, great.
In spite of draconian censorship. So all of us are spokes in this wheel, all of us necessary to make it roll. And no one should underestimate their own power. As I stated at the end of The Dimming, any one of us could be the final pebble to trigger the landslide of awakening. All of us have that power. Collectively, we can make a difference, even at this late hour. So thank you so much for your voicemail. Very grateful to you and your listeners.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll talk to you again soon, but keep up the great work. It's yeoman's amazing stuff you do. And God bless you, sir. I'll see you soon.
Team effort, Mel. Thank you.
Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel K Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkshowlive.com. The members at MelKShowLive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights, where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests.
Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, an emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company medical emergency kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.